Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. This is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town.
Welcome to the Invested Podcast. We are really glad you're here, and we're going to dive right into some very cool things about investing.
What do we do on this podcast, Dad?
Oh, well, we talk about how in the world to invest like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger and Manish Prabhai and Guy Spier and a whole bunch of other phenomenal investors that you can go get books about, and they're very famous and they're very good at this, and they are among that group of investors, very rare, very small number of investors, who can control their clients' capital well enough to be able to sit in cash and do nothing for great long periods of time.
Ah, and which yet,
is, and yet,
produce
maybe phenomenal rates of return.
Ah, yes, that's important. Which, I was going to say, and yet, maybe this is not so much one of those times of sitting around on your booty and doing nothing because things are happening in the market.
Things are happening, so, but I think this is very much the time to sit around on your booty and twiddle your thumbs. But that's just me.
But who knows? Who,
I know.
You know. I know. Does anyone else know?
Does anyone else know
Some
why this
do.
Might be the time? Actually, it might be the time to take action, depending on what you're doing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, depending on what you've got out there.
We were talking last time about kind of how to deal with these crazy market, economic, inflation times. And we're still going to talk about inflation-proof companies, but we wanted to be, just because of timely things happening, to talk about a particular company that we both were very interested in, and we did a couple of episodes on way back when, kind of at the beginning-ish of the pandemic, definitely like a year and a half ago, I would say, on Peloton. Peloton is my baby. Before I got sick, I was loving doing Peloton, and I don't have a bike. I don't have space in my tiny apartment.
Well, wait a second. What's Peloton? First of all.
Okay. Good question. Peloton is an at-home interactive exercise. What would you call that? Company, I guess. So like they have a bike and they have a treadmill. And so what you do is you buy either their bike or their treadmill or their standalone app, and then ride in live classes with live instructors and other live people where you can see how they're doing compared to how you're doing. You can have competitions with them within the class. You can have buddies, like a social media kind of experience. You can have groups of people, so it feels really social around a certain, like, you know, moms who ride for their wine and, you know, hashtag blah, 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 whatevers. And you can do all of that or you can do none of that. And I did none of that. I just had the app and my regular road bike that I had on an at-home trainer with my sports watch set up so I could see my heart rate, and just used it. So like I was just changing the gears as the instructors told me to like go up in resistance or go down in resistance. I just changed my gears and did none of the interactive stuff, and I loved it. It was like the best.
You're kidding. You never did the interactive stuff? You never got on a live video with other people?
I did a live class. Yeah, yeah. But you don't have to like interact with people.
Oh, no, you don't have to interact. By interactive, I mean that you're seeing and people at a certain speed of bike, and they're seeing you, and you're going up or down their ladder.
Well, no. No.
You didn't do that.
Because no, you can't when you only have the app. That's part of the value proposition of buying their bike or their treadmill.
Oh, that would make
so you
a
only
huge
have access to that kind of info and that
I'm
kind of interaction.
I'm amazed that you really liked it, because the huge part of this that struck me as being just remarkable is the interaction, what it does to you to be in a live class with people on an exercise machine. And you very quickly find your peer group because you can't keep up with the people who are stronger than you. And you're going to be ahead of the people who are weaker than you. What, wherever you're at, I don't care if you're a complete couch potato, you are going to have a group
totally
that are going your speed. Totally. And there's hundreds of them who are going
there's
your
even
speed.
Sometimes thousands on a live ride. It's
and then
really
all of a sudden
popular.
You find yourself extraordinarily motivated to
you
hang
talk
in
like
there
you've
with
done
somebody.
This.
I've done it on a different company.
Yes, I remember
is,
you talking about this.
Which is, I think, to
this.
The point of this. I'm doing this on a rowing machine because I spent 10 years in the Grand Canyon and my muscles really come back quickly with the rowing motion because I've done, you know, thousands of miles of rowing on the river down there with big, heavy boats. So my muscles are built to come back to a rowing type stroke. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I tried it, it felt like, oh, yeah, I know how to do this. As compared to being on a bike or running on a treadmill or something like that. The rowing was just natural for me because I'd done so much. And when I hooked up Hydro, they have that Peloton kind of a system with a live person on a real live boat in a real live lake rowing.
Yeah,
and it's like
so cool.
Awesome. Yeah. And then you have all these people, like there might be a couple hundred or a couple thousand, depending on the time of day and the popularity of that particular instructor. But you're on there and very quickly you find your peer group. And then it's a matter of like, you just sort of naturally want to hang in there as you start to realize, you know, these people are pushing me. They want to come by me. Or I've even had people slow down to have me hang in there with them. It's cool.
That's very cool.
They slow down and then they'll speed up a little bit. I'll try to go with them and they'll hold into that and they'll speed up a little more because they're way stronger. Mm-hmm. I remember this one guy's like 70-year-old guy and I'm a 70-year-old guy and he just came in there. And so I friended him. So I said, who? I followed him, I guess is what you call it. So I followed him and then he shot me a little note, you know, like, hey, hang in, good row.
You're buds.
I was like, holy crap.
You
this
have a
is
rowing
cool.
buddy.
And then, so I looked at you. Then you could look because you friended or you're following. You can see what he does. You can see the times that he's out there in the past doing different stuff. Mm. And this guy rows twice a day. And he rows for about an hour twice a day.
Oh my gosh.
And he is ripping hardcore. And I bet. That's when I realized he was slowing down to just kind of drag me along.
He was like another 70-year-old dude. We can be
friends. Yeah, I want to kind of row with the guys like my age. Maybe I can
I
make you stronger.
Aww.
He was mentoring me.
I love that.
Oh, it was so cool. And then I do all kinds of sort of sexist things, of course. I'm looking at, there's a woman there. There's no way this 60-year-old woman is going to stay ahead of me. That's totally me. So
yeah,
I'm really
totally
killing
you.
Myself. And then she just rose away.
Of course
she's
she did.
Gone.
She's like screw you.
That can't help. That's, to me, that's motivating, right? I'm a big guy. She's not as big as me. I should be able to, but she's in great shape. And that's
motivating.
Wait, how
motivating do you know
me.
She's not? Like, does it show like height?
Come
or?
On. I'm 6'2", 210.
No, maybe she's a...
I'm guessing probably she's smaller than me.
You and I both know women who are taller than you. So please.
There's not very many.
Not very many.
So it's fair enough to guess. Now it might be Diana and she's just crushing me out there. I don't know. Freaking semi-Olympic rower. Who's my brother, my son-in-law, sister, whatever that makes her to me.
Well, so it sounds like you've had really a fun time with like the social part.
I love it. And the live thing, because they also record everything, right? So when I don't get on a live one, I'll get on a recorded one. And it's great but it's not as motivating, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these people aren't actually seeing me. I'm just trying to stay with somebody. And it's very different. When you're trying to stay with somebody or they're trying to stay with you, you can feel them pushing by. They'll start to row by me and they'll be a meter ahead and then 2 meters ahead. And then I'll try to really up my speed a little bit and catch up with them. And you can see how fast you're going, how fast they were going, and now they're going faster. So it's real easy to conclude that they're feeling you push them and they're trying to just move on out of there. And there's a whole thing going on. You can break people down. I mean,
yeah.
Just people push until you just feel like, oh, they're just way stronger, and you just sort of quit on yourself.
Well, to this point, I mean, this, whether it's Peloton or any other company, this style of exercise at home but interacting with other people online is here to stay.
It's a huge invention.
It's huge invention. It's so good.
Better than being at the gym, honestly.
I think so too. Even before the pandemic, I stopped going to gyms because I just, yeah. I don't
know. I mean, the whole point of being in a gym is you got other people around to motivate you, right?
Yeah, totally.
And that's the deal.
Totally.
But that doesn't work really good on a treadmill, or it doesn't work really good on a rowing machine in a gym. It probably works good when you're doing free weights and stuff. You got people there. But, yeah.
Well,
this is,
so
it's here to
stay. I have not experienced that with Peloton because I only have the app. So I've done rides with like my best friend where we put our phones on the handlebars, and she has an actual Peloton so she could see like where she was in the class. And then we would do a live class and we would talk to each other and like see each other during the class on a video call. And so in that way, like ride together, which was super fun.
Cool.
But we were not, you know, we weren't, like, I wasn't interacting with the stats in the class because you can't on the app, which I frankly couldn't have cared less about. Like, it made no difference to me. But I also haven't tried it the other way, so maybe it would be really fantastic. I will add to this discussion of whether or not social aspects matter that Nuno had, like, tried Zwift. So he's, like, super into cycling, like, obsessively into cycling. And he had Peloton with me, and we both were into Peloton. And then he tried Zwift, which is like a totally different thing. No classes. You have just only like a computer world. And it's entirely about this computer world where you ride with other people who are represented on the computer screen. They've done an amazing job with their interface. And he tried Zwift once and never went back to Peloton, not even one time. He was like, I'm done. But Zwift is so much better. Like, I can race with people. It's exactly everything you were just
racing
saying.
There, right?
He can see himself racing there. He can see other people. He, like, in the beginning, multiple times until he figured out what he was doing wrong, got pulled along by somebody who he was trying to beat, you know, and, like, couldn't make it and would break away too early and then get exhausted in the ride and couldn't hang and get like kicked out of the Peloton because they
he'd fall off the back of the Peloton.
Absolutely. Even, huh? And then he'd be like, I like screwed up the timing. And, you know, so it's really trying to mimic being on the actual road in an actual race with you
without
know,
the road rash,
300 other people. Yeah. Without the road rash. Exactly. So this is all to say, there's a lot of different ways that this interactive, at-home, online sport experience is shaking out.
Yeah, and who knew how addictive it could be until you actually do it, and then you sort of look back and you go, oh, it's obvious. I mean, we play computer games. I mean, how addictive are computer games? And this is a live kind of computer game.
Yeah.
It gets you in phenomenal shape. So Peloton invented this, and it was that... They came rolling out of the box, having figured this out, and wow, they really became a really exciting stock, right? They just took off. Like,
they were kind of like rolling along as a company, and people knew about them, but it wasn't the zeitgeist that it became once we all got stuck at home, and everybody started buying Pelotons. To the point where it's become part of popular culture. And I don't know if you know this, Dad, but in the new Sex and the City movie, which I have not seen.
Haven't really followed that much.
No, you really haven't? Okay. It's terrible.
Sorry.
One of the main characters, this is a spoiler, but everybody knows it now. One of the big main characters has a heart attack on his Peloton and falls over and dies.
Oh.
And so Peloton, the company, this is like, when did this happen? Like 6 weeks ago? Maybe? 8 weeks ago? Peloton, the company, reacted very quickly and went and created a ad that went straight onto TV with the actor, Chris Noth, where he says, like, I'm alive. The Peloton didn't kill me. I'm okay. Well,
he might be dead now.
What do you mean?
He's getting me too'd like crazy.
He is. Yeah. So then they pulled the ad. So it's been a Peloton, roller coaster.
Peloton right now must just be going, what?
It's like their stars are badly misaligned, right? Like they're in Mercury's in retrograde for Peloton.
Right I now. Guess because they went public in late 2019. So their timing was, talk about good stars. Their timing was insane, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They go public at about $20 a share, 21, 22, something like that. And, you know, they get up to about 40 on their own and then they're drifting down. And then all of a sudden comes COVID, right? And pretty quickly, everybody realizes that everybody being institutional investors and individual investors who are using Peloton, they start to realize, holy smokes, this is going to be the thing. And it got bid up back up to 40. So it got to 40 on its own. And then it went back to 40 by about June. So
wait a second. Of what year?
Of 2020. So about 3 months, 4 months into COVID. Yeah. It made it back to 40. And it kind of paused along at right around 50 until mid-year. So about August, it just took off. And it went on a kind of an unrelenting climb. And by November, it was at 140. Then it kind of corrected back down to 100. And just that's going to just be market reaction, right? Nothing going on that says, don't watch out or anything. And then exploded up from there, 100 up to 165 or 170, about 165. And that was the peak. And that happened in early 2021. So a year ago.
And it was all anybody could talk about. Yeah. I mean, that's why we ended up doing podcasts. I was getting texts from friends saying, like, what do you think about Peloton, the stock? Yeah. Like, is this company going to, like, take over all things workout and exercise? And I'm obsessed with it, and I love it so much. And, you know, they're going to, like, get bigger than Apple and all these huge, they're going to buy Hydro. Like, you know, there were a lot of speculations out there about how big they could possibly get.
Yes.
And I don't think they were insane. And that's what we talked about.
Yes. And they were not insane. And yet they were a little crazy. Both.
Well, the big question is, what is the moat that Peloton really has?
Okay. Well, that's a fair place to start. I mean, if we're thinking about, I really wish I'd bought that at 20 and it went to 160 in just almost no time at all. You know, how did I miss that, right? Why didn't I get a piece of that? That would have been so awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's easy to think, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you're using Peloton at the time. You're a Peloton user and you know how wonderful it is. I just got done telling you, it's completely wonderful, totally addictive.
Me too.
Totally wonderful, totally new, totally exciting. And, you know, yeah, they're even like in 2019, let me see what their annual was in 2019.
Hold on. Well, you look at that. I canceled my subscription after I had been sick for, I don't know, 6 months or something. And really, so I, unfortunately, was so excited to get back to my Peloton rides. I shouldn't say my Peloton, but my Peloton rides, that I was starting to do a couple of them when I was feeling a little bit better way back when, at the beginning of 2020, and overdid it, as many people have done with long COVID, and relapsed because I overdid it on the exercise. Mm. And so I blame Peloton. No, I don't really blame Peloton, but I kind of blame Peloton because it's so fun. And then I kept my subscription for a while because I was like, I'll get back to it. And then it took me a while to realize I wasn't going to come back for a long time. And so I finally canceled it. But every now and then I do think, like, I'll be able to do a Peloton ride at some point. Like, that's my out there goal. And it's been a year. And that's how fun these rides are. Like, they stick with me.
So let's say you're really into it, and here this company goes public. It's at $20. And you think, yeah, that sounds great for me. Yeah. So here's a couple of problems with buying into that from our point of view, of course. And that is that they lose money.
Wait, what are you talking about? What, a certain point of time? Talking about Peloton
losing money.
No, are you talking about when they went public? Oh, when they went public. Okay.
Yeah, they're losing money. So they're losing money, but they're losing less money each year as they start to go public. Mm-hmm. And then they go public, get a bunch of money, and then they really lose money. They lost about, you know, because of course what you're going to do is pour it in there and try to really, really build up your network with trying to get to the network effect where you lock up so many people and get them locked all in that your competitors don't even bother to compete because you've got everybody.
Right. Because once somebody has invested
right.
$2,000 or whatever it is now, $2,400. So first problem we've got with them to necessarily break away very easily.
Right. So the first problem we've got with this is that, you know, why should we buy into a company that is losing money? And Danielle, you brought up the first reason maybe why, which is they have a gigantic moat. And even though they're a startup and they're losing money, if they've got a gigantic moat, some durable competitive advantage that makes it really hard to compete with them, then, and we can see the trajectory is losing less and less money all the time, then we may be able to make a rational decision, maybe as part of a risky biz portfolio, to buy into this company at 20. If
wait, wait, are you saying if they have a moat, or are you saying they have a gigantic moat?
I'm saying if.
If, okay.
So we got to ask, what's the moat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the moat? So that's the interesting part of this company. So they invent something kind of new in the world. Mm-hmm. Then you have to ask yourself, how durable? So you have got an immediate competitive advantage. Now, then the question becomes, how durable is it? And you start to think, well, what is it that they offer? And what they offer is you're going online live and there's thousands of people because you're going on there at any time of day and you want to do this thing live, theoretically, and there's all these classes that you could potentially do. So the moat, if I were to go at it like this, I would start thinking, this is a gaming moat. This is what gives Activision Blizzard such an enormously durable competitive advantage. The fact that at any point in time, you can go on and play the main games, right? Like Call of Duty. You can go on there day or night, anywhere in the world, and get a game with 150 or 200 people in it. Anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's impossible with other stuff. They're just, you have to have such, in other words, it's a network moat. You can't just do that with any other, most other games. You have to wait around until the thing is that there, you know, there's a group of people who are big enough to start a game. And that's just not what people are willing to do. So gaming moat, and what protects a big company like Activision Blizzard, is this ability that you have as a gamer to jump in and get a game anytime you want. It's an enormous thing.
Wait, you're talking about games, but I'm not following how this relates to Peloton experience.
Because Peloton, I'm saying that Peloton may have a gaming moat. That the moat is that they've got thousands of people on there that you can ride your bike with, or you can do a running competition with.
Yes, which I would call a network effects moat.
It is a network effect.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but it's a very special one. Well, I guess it's similar to, you know, Facebook has a network effect moat.
I would say it's much more similar to like a Facebook than a gaming situation. Because
okay,
you can't...
Whatever. Then the question...
okay, go ahead.
The question is whether it exists.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Does it really exist?
Yeah.
So... arguably, it kind of does. In other words, well, let's take Hydro, for example. They don't let me go and have a live row just whenever I want to, whenever I want to, right? Because first off, they've got to be on a river or a lake live, and that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. They got weather issues. So they have real disadvantages compared to Peloton. Peloton can have instructors in a home. It could be somebody's house, and they could be broadcasting from there. So even so, I'm on Hydro, right? Because I can do their recorded ones. Now, if they didn't have a huge number of people on the recorded Hydro row, then it might not be as interesting. If there was just 10 people, then there wouldn't be anybody running my speed necessarily.
Yeah, so it's basically the same on Peloton. So they have the live classes, but there are frankly not very many of them. I was really surprised at how
few. So there's not very many live classes. So maybe it's a real thing to broadcast. I don't know. It might be a big expensive pile of gear.
I think it's very expensive. They did eventually set up studios in the various instructors' homes when everyone was in lockdown, but it took them a while to do that.
Well, if they haven't
but
done
they're
that,
back
they're
in the studio.
They're missing a gig right there.
So the thing that most people do is not a live class. Most people do a recorded class, I would say. And that's available anytime you want. You just press play. Yeah. But I think the real network effects is, I think there's two components. One is the strangers who you meet through the classes, like you did with the guy on the river.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, to me, far more grippy, which are people in your real life who also have Peloton. So like I said, I did that ride with my friend where we did a video call together. I've done that with multiple people.
So here you're basically hearing two points of view. Danielle, you're into it for two reasons which have no effect on me whatsoever. I was interested that this guy was trying to tow me along and I was following and all that, but I really don't care and I didn't follow him after that and I don't pay any attention to him whatsoever. And I don't have any friends that are on a Hydro. It's just nothing, none of what you just said affects me at all. What affects me is the live row and the huge stack of people who are on the recorded ones, which I can kind of compare myself to. So there's, you know, two different points of view
there. Okay, but I'm telling you why people are using it.
That's why
it doesn't have to be you.
Right. But I don't know if that's very compelling, honestly.
The fact that people get into the like social media part of it?
Yeah. Maybe it is.
Oh, they do. It's a huge part of it.
Well, there's me. I'm an introvert, so I'm not getting anybody's social media.
Yeah, me too.
Anything.
That's why I don't care at all. I don't do that part of it, and it's fine. I'm probably never going to get into it, even if I got a Peloton. But that's why I was so surprised that for somebody like me, it was really like a life-changing kind of thing to realize that I could do a class with a real life friend.
So,
we could only do that if we both have Peloton. That's the point.
Right. Okay.
So I actually like convinced probably like five different people in my life to get Peloton so that we could do classes together.
Is this a big moat or not? That's the tricky part of this.
Yeah. So that's what, I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about it. The other thing that we talked a lot about is their patents and whether or not they could defend having their exclusive live classes with a leaderboard.
We talked a lot about it, but let's get down to it. I mean, is it a moat? Because their stock has gotten smashed.
Yeah.
It is back down to $20, first off. So that sucks if you bought it at 160.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
second,
sucks really badly.
Oh yeah. And second,
I shouldn't laugh. That sucks.
It's losing money like they're just bleeding money. And that's the other side of this.
Yeah,
thing.
Well, the reason the stock went down is they announced that they were gonna stop their production of bikes and treadmills for a few weeks because they ramped up production so quickly when everybody was ordering it and you couldn't get one. They had 3-month delivery delays. That now clearly orders have gone down far enough where they had to actually stop making them for a little while. So
yeah,
that is not what investors were expecting when they bought it at 160. And the question is, I think that you're putting is their moat really intrinsic and durable to the point where this company is going to be a huge player in the at-home sports world?
So here's how I would look at it.
For the coming 10 years.
I would look at this thing literally on a quarter-by-quarter basis right now, and I would say, okay, and because there can be seasonality to this kind of stuff, right? As soon as you can all go outdoors, maybe people don't buy Pelotons for indoors as much. So you'd look at it quarter by quarter. So that means I would look at like the last quarter that they produced financials for was September 2021. So they got the new one coming out virtually any day now for the December quarter. But I would look at that September 21 and I'd look back at September of 2020 and I would say, have they grown quarter over quarter, right?
Yeah, tell me.
And they have.
They have.
And then I'd look at the June one compared to the June 2020 and they have.
And when then, you say grown, what are you looking at?
Well, let's start with, let's go back the trailing 12 months. So December of 2020 versus December of 2019, we would obviously expect a gigantic growth, right? Because that would mm-hmm. be the quarter, let's see, December 2020. Yeah, that would be including all this COVID stuff. And we should maybe even go back farther. Let's go back to June of 2019, the June of 2020. So June of 2019, they were at $223 million in revenue. And at 2020, they were at $600 million. So they tripled.
Yeah.
And then September.
In revenue. So you're looking at revenue.
Revenue. Then September quarter of 2019, they were at 228 revenue. And September 2020, they were at 760. More than a triple. And then December of 19 to December of 20, they went from 466 to 1 billion. So they doubled. Then March of 20 to March of 21, they went from 500 to 1.2. So they more than doubled again. And then June of 2020, they were at 600. And June of 2021, they were at 900. So it's 50% increase. You see, it's starting to slide down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you've got September of 2020 to September 2021, they went from 760 to 800, sliding down a lot. Still growing really well, right? I mean, come on. If your company is growing 5%, well, I guess 5% quarter over quarter isn't very great anymore.
No, but so, you could, I mean, if I were going to argue on their side, I would argue that that 2020 number was way outsized and,
way outsized.
Now it's starting to equalize out.
Yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
The numbers are pretty amazingly decent. And maybe this is starting to get to where it's interesting.
Yeah, because the price is so far down.
Hold on. We got to stop. We can go on and on.
Let's like we're going to do many episodes of it, but we have to stop ourselves.
All right. We got to stop. So let's pick this up again.
Yeah. We'll
next
keep talking
time,
about
to
this
to be continued. Time. Peloton. Fascinating. Is it a deal? Is it not? How are you going to think about this? Okay. Let's go on.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
See you guys. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to Invested. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more information or to listen to additional episodes, visit our website at investedpodcast.com and sign up for my virtual workshop right there. Spots are definitely limited for this event. I'm not kidding. They really are. They sell out very quickly. So everything discussed on this podcast, by the way, is either my opinion or it's Danielle's opinion. And it's really important. It's not to be taken as investing advice because I am not your financial advisor. Nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So remember that. You're on your own here. This podcast is for your entertainment and education only, and I really hope you enjoyed it.